Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
And right now I want to bring up Pastor Wayne Curtis. He's a friend of Bethany, ministered in this pulpit before as well, helped us when we didn't have a pastor, and we appreciate you. He's coming from Northridge. He's a pastor over there. We thank you for being here, brother.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Listen, what about that worship team? Isn't it awesome? Huh? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad." I got to say something before we get started. Got a lot to say with the time we have left to continue our worship. But I've been around a lot of worship leaders in my life. But your worship leader, when he leads worship over here, there's a glow about him. Did you notice? Are you with me? Did you notice that? His face just shines. Give it up for Paul and his leadership. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. And Pastor Seth and Rainey, if you're watching, we thank you for the privilege to be here. And for Pastor Seth letting me stand in the pulpit to share the word of God now. It's so good to be with you. The last time that I had the privilege of being here with you beautiful Bethany Church family, you were walking through a difficult, uncertain season. There was no permanent pastor. There were questions about the future, and there was a sense of transition everywhere. But what I remember most was not fear. What I remember was fervent prayer here. Because when people of God don't know what to do, they still know where to turn. Amen. And I remember that. Now I come back to see what God has done and trusting him and bringing Pastor Seth Westmoreland and to lead this next chapter is a reminder of something powerful. That God never abandons his church in transition. He leads his church through transition. God, he also always reminds us that he's got you. Right? And what is more meaningful is that you've been walking through the names of God, huh? For our time together today. Because in uncertain season, God does not merely change circumstances. He reveals more of himself. So now, with that said, are you ready? You buckled in? You excited? Huh? All right. Get excited because, listen, I'm not your typical pastor. If you want to clap, if you want to, you know, now don't get weird. All right? Right? Yeah, thanks, Jim. But I want you just to take this in because, you know, I want you to be prepared. And I want you to take away stuff. This is good. Listen, God set this up. We didn't get to talk about the worship set, but it flows right into what God's given us today. And listen, if you're a note taker, and I hope you are, if you use technology, take some notes. I'm going to have basically 7 points, I'm going to tell you up front, and then I'm going to have main points. And I want you to capture the verses to put with the main points. Are you with me? All right. So when you do that, this way you can go home, you can study, you take this through the week with you. And this is cool because something that's really cool that's in your church program that you got this morning is important because for those of us who are from the last century, you have paper. You write on this. Kids, you can write on that. And you can write the notes and you can write the verse. Okay? All right? So, now just a quick review. With Pastor Seth, I know the God Names Foundation that you've been through. You've already walked through Elohim, right? The God of Creator. In the beginning, there was God, Genesis 1:1. This God who brought order to chaos before humanity existed, before light filled the universe, God already was. You've walked through Yahweh. I love that one. I love Yahweh. Exodus 3:14, this is the moment Moses stood before the burning bush, overwhelmed by his calling to confront Pharaoh and lead Israel out of Egypt. And you talked about that, and God revealed himself. What did he call himself? Remember the talk? I am who I am. And the unchanging covenant of God was not I was, not I will become, but eternally I am. I love Yahweh. And then El Shaddai, God Almighty. Genesis 17:1. God revealed this name to Abraham when Abraham was old, weary, and waiting on promises that seemed impossible. And God essentially said to him, Abraham, your limitations don't limit me. Huh? The all-sufficient one, El Shaddai. And Adonai, the Lord and Master. Psalm 8:1. King David, the shepherd boy, turned king, looked at the vastness of creation, declared, O Lord, our Lord, the rightful ruler over all creation, Adonai. Today, I'm excited because today I'm going to share another name to continue this with Pastor Seth. This name is a powerful revelation. And all the names that you've learned, this one right here, Jehovah Sabaoth. Some say Sabaoth. But Jehovah Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. I love that. The commander, Jesus, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, is a majestic Old Testament name for God that emphasizes his ultimate power, his ultimate sovereignty, and supreme command over all spiritual and physical forces in the universe. Because when life becomes uncertain, when leadership changes, when answers are delayed, when fears rise, when spiritual battles intensify, you don't simply need a creator or a provider, or a master. You need the one who commands what you cannot see. Jehovah Sabaoth, right? There are seasons in life, that one that I mentioned, that your church has gone through. There are seasons in life that you have personally, quickly, in my personal story, they, when I think of the angel armies and the host going before us, Jehovah Sabaoth, I think of our family, my wife Renee and I, when we got married, I was, you know, older than she is, and she's a little bit younger, and so we wanted to start a family right away. So turned out it was right away. We had a honeymoon baby. That freaked me right out. Right? I mean, freaked me out. And I'm like, what? My wife tells me, I got a surprise to tell you. And we were doing church on a Wednesday night. I said, I got this thing I'm doing over here. No, I got to give you a present. So she gives me this present of these two balloons, pink and blue. And I'm a dude. I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, seriously? Right, Mom's like, what's wrong with you? I go, what does that mean? She goes, look at the balloons, pink and blue. And then it said, congratulations, Daddy. And then what happened? In the second trimester of her pregnancy, 27 weeker, we had our first child. She weighed a whopping 1 pound, 10 ounces. She was in the hospital, Royal Oak, for almost 5 months. Now, you talk about the unseen. You talk about not knowing. You talk about needing Jehovah Sabaoth. That was us. And God covered her. That little one-pound baby now is 31 years old. She's going on her fifth child, our seventh grandkid. All her kids were 8 pounds. Is God good? Huh? Now, let me tell you, it wasn't always that way. Our second baby was also born in that second trimester in 20. She's with Jesus. Her name's Hope Elizabeth. But you know, as I go to 2 Samuel 12:1, that God's still good. He's still in control. Just like King David, when the servant stood in front of him and said, King David, your child has passed. And David got up and worshiped. And the servant said, how can you worship when your child is gone? He said, God, in his mercy and his love, though my child can't come to me, one day I'll go to my child. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen? He is the God who goes before us. The angel armies. It amazes me what he does. God is never absent in the unseen, and we were in the unseen. In fact, many times his deepest work is happening there. Write that down. Sometimes and most times in the unseen, his deepest work is happening there. He did that for your church. He did that when we were praying for it. He did that when we had our conversations. In the unseen, he was preparing a pastor who was from Texas, of all places. You don't mess with Texas. And he brought this man of God with his wife and his family here to lead you forward. Yay, God. And you should be clapping right there. And that's exactly what this name received. God is in control of what you cannot see. Here we go. Buckle up. Let's get this going. Because I know you want to go to lunch. God is over what is unseen. 1 Samuel 1:12 is a story. Now this man went up to the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord hosts in Shiloh. The verse takes place during the days of Hannah and Echaniah. And Israel was spiritually unstable. The priesthood under Eli's sons was corrupt. The nation was drifting spiritually. Yet even then, in that environment, God was still called the Lord of hosts. Does that sound familiar? Are you with me? It sounds like, are we in a time like that? Yeah, we are. We're in a time of uncertainty. We're in a time of a secular worldview. Praise God for the church that we're here to celebrate and worship that we have a Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, age alarming. And here's the main point. Write it down. Even when the earthly leadership feels broken, heaven's throne is not unstable. Here's King David, Psalm 24:10. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. David writes this psalm celebrating the majesty and the kingship of God. David understood earthly warfare, and he had faced lions and bears. Oh, my. Goliath, Saul's army, all the things you know when you study David. And David declared, above every earthly king stands the King of glory. Here's the point. God is not surrounded by power. He commands it. Huh? He is the power. He is God. He is the Almighty One that reigns. He is the one who encompasses us. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah receives a vision of heaven in that passage. And during a national crisis after King Uzziah died, the nation was shaken politically and spiritually, but Isaiah suddenly sees something greater. God still seated on the throne, angels worshiping him, and heaven is still operating perfectly. And here's the point. Write it down. Earthly instability never removes heavenly authority. Amen? Never. Never does. God is the Lord over the unseen. And then moving on, God remains God in unstable seasons, just again, like here, just again, like our family. 1 Samuel 3:1, young Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Oh, man, is this sound, huh? What? Isn't God's word relevant? So relevant. People say, how are the Old Testament's not relevant? Are you reading with me? Write it down. The word of God is relevant, old to new, from then to now. Young Samuel is serving in the temple during a spiritually dark generation. People were not hearing from God. Corruption filled the priesthood. Filled the priesthood. Are you listening to that? Are you with me? Filled the priesthood. The attack on the priesthood. Does that sound familiar? How many pastors in the months and years that we've experienced late have been attacked, have fallen? Some of the biggest names in evangelical Christianity. Is the Word of God relevant? And here's the thing. Yet God, in all that, when the corruption that filled the priesthood, yet God was still there, still speaking, still working, still covering Jehovah Sabaoth. Huh? And here's the thing. Silence, even through those days for Samuel, does not mean absence. Whatever you're going through, whatever issues you have, and every one of you have a story in here from young to old. When you're wondering where he is and what he's doing, he is at work. And though you don't feel it, you might not sense, he is there. Because don't think silence means absence. There is a warfare going on that you can't see, right? And he's there. Here you go. The psalmist said this, Psalm 46, 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. This psalm was written during the national turmoil and threats against Israel. Everything around them felt unstable, but the declaration remained, the Lord of hosts is. And here's the point. God's presence is not dependent on peaceful circumstances. Huh? You know what we say? We said it here when I was here last time. We said it when we went through our thing at Temple Baptist, transitioned to Northridge Church, and there were years we didn't have a pastor. And we know that God's presence did not leave us. We knew he went before us. We were trusting him in all things. But it wasn't dependent on our peaceful circumstances. They weren't that peaceful, right? You know that. Well, going forward, Psalm 46, 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. And God repeats this truth because fearful people need repeated reminders. And the point to that, when life feels unstable, God remains unshaken. He's unshaken. And next, moving on, God commands what you cannot see. Love this story about Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6, 6 through 17. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more. So the prophet Elijah, if you write that down in your notes, check out this story. His servant woke up surrounded by the Syrian army. The servant panics because he can't see danger. I mean, all he can see is danger, I should say. All he can see is danger. But Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And suddenly the servant sees horses and chariots and a fire covering the mountains. And the point is, your visible situation is never the full story, right? When our baby's in the hospital, we didn't know. We couldn't tell. We didn't. They tell you the worst things. They have to. Your baby could be, and it happens. They still struggle with some asthma stuff we did. But we know that this is true, that your visible situation never is the full story. Psalm 34, 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear. David writes this after God delivered him from King Abimelech. And when David was terrified and vulnerable, David realized God had been protecting him, even when he didn't fully realize it. David realized God had been protecting him. And the point is, you may feel vulnerable in where you are today, but you are never abandoned. You are never abandoned. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 14, ministering spirits sent forth. The writer of Hebrews explained that angels are servants carrying out God's assignments for believers. And the point is, heaven is active even when the earth feels silent. Huh? Isn't that awesome to know that wherever you are, there he is, there his army is, and it's just encamping around us. And I love Daniel 10. There's a lot here, and I want to say this quickly. Daniel 10, verses 12 to 13. Daniel had been praying, fasting for understanding. Daniel was deeply burdened and troubled about what God had revealed concerning the future of Israel. For 3 weeks, he fasted, prayed, and sought understanding because he couldn't make sense of all that was happening and that was yet to come. For Daniel's perspective, it seemed that as though heaven was silent, no answer was coming. And yet, in that passage, the angel revealed that God had heard his prayer from the very first day and had immediately sent an answer. What Daniel could not see was the fierce spiritual battle that was taking place behind the scenes, delaying the message for 21 days. And Daniel saw only the delay. Isn't that like us? Huh? Only, and God saw the battle. Daniel saw uncertainty. God was already at work. And the passage reminds us that when we cannot see what God is doing, he's still working in the ways beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, accomplish his purpose, even in the unseen realm. And in that passage, a radiant angel told Daniel, don't be afraid. Just like he tells us, don't be afraid. Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come to respond to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the kings of Persia. And an angel finally arrives and reveals to him the warfare was just a delayed answer, that there was a remnant of angels, legions protecting him. And the point in all that is there are realities operating behind the human sight. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of angels' army. And here we go. God is not reacting. He is ruling. Huh? He's not reacting. He's ruling. He is leading. Back to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 14:27. The Lord of hosts has purposed. Isaiah speaks of God's sovereign purposes over the nations and kings. Empires rise and fall, but none overturn God's plan. None will overturn God's plan for you. He won't. The point is, God never adjusts his plans because of human resistance. Amen? Never does. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. This command comes in the middle of chaos for the children of Israel. War, instability, the point for that. Peace comes from knowing who is in control. Jehovah Sabaoth. Psalm 153, who does whatever he does, whatever he pleases. He does what's in his will. The psalm contrasts powerless idols with a living God. There's a lot of powerless idols here, right? There's some in your hands. Are you with me? But praise God, nothing happening around you threatens God's authority. Revelation 19 is one of my favorite. John sees the glorified Christ returning as the conquering king, not weak, not suffering, not rejected, but victorious. The point there is the commander of heaven has never lost control, and he never will. The next point, the commander enters the battle. He enters the battle. Matthew 26:53. More than 12 legions of angels protect. Jesus says this while being arrested in Gethsemane. Remember the story in Gethsemane? Peter had drawn out his sword, trying to defend him, right? This is, I can relate to this. But Jesus reveals he didn't need Peter's help, right? He tried to step in to change the path, to change the direction. Remember the stories? Whacked off the soldier's ear. and Jesus reveals, listen, if I wanted to take care of this, I could have called down more than 12 legions of angels. Imagine that movie. Huh? Are you with me? And here's the point. The cross. Peter wasn't able to, he was going to thwart the cross. The angels had accompanied the power. There was nothing to stop Jesus from going to the cross because the cross was not weakness. It was surrender by choice. Hallelujah. Huh? Man. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the principalities of power. Paul explains to the church of Colossae that the cross, Jesus defeated the spiritual darkness publicly and completely. The point, the greatest unseen battle was won at Calvary. Jehovah Sabaoth. Paul writes to believers that are facing suffering in this next point. You know, I know the Philippians 2:8 that you want to write that. He humbled himself. In that point there is the commander entered the brokenness to save us. He did. On the cross. In the next point, moving on with the time going short here. You are never outnumbered. I love this verse, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, amen. He writes this to all of us facing suffering, persecution, uncertainty. And here's the point. Victory is determined by who stands with you, Jehovah Sabaoth. 2 Kings 6:16. Another story with Elijah. Those who are with us are more. I love that. Those who are with us are more. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Elijah reminds his servants, visible enemies are not ultimate realities. The main point, fear grows when we only look at the circumstances. Do you get caught up in that here? Huh? Is the Bible relevant? It's like you get caught up in your circumstances, you know? Things that you feel are uncontrollable. Things that are unseen. He's in control of the unseen. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. Man, I love him. Fear grows when we only look at ourselves. Here's the thing. You are not defined by what surrounds you. You are defined by who surrounds you. Amen? And the last point, it's God surrounds what you cannot see. Paul writes to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are unseen are temporary. Paul writes while they're enduring suffering and persecution again, hardship again. You notice the theme that doesn't end. But here's the great point. Visible struggles are temporary realities. I love that. They're temporary. We get our mind eternal. If we get our focus on Jesus, on eternal things, we know that he's Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one in control of angel armies. He's the one that gave the words to Paul to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Paul reminds believers that spiritual warfare exists behind many earthly struggles. And the point, not every battle is merely human. It's to take you to a place just like he took this church, to know him, to trust him, to put beyond words to action for Proverbs 3:5-6 that says, trust the Lord with how much of your heart? I can't hear you. All your heart. And don't lean on what? Your understanding. And acknowledge him in his way, and he'll what? Amen? And look where we are today. Come on. I love what God gave to Paul. This is one of my favorites. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. All things in Jesus. Jehovah Sabaoth. Paul reassures suffering believers that God is actively working even through painful seasons unto his purpose. And the point, God is working where you cannot yet see. The psalmist said in Psalm 125:2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, the psalmist uses Jerusalem, surrounding mountains, as a picture of God's protection. And the point to that is you are never spiritually exposed. He's got you covered. And the psalmist also wrote in Psalm 121:4, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. Pilgrims traveling toward Jerusalem sang this psalm for comfort and for reassurance. And the point is, God never stops watching over his people. He never does. He knows everything about you. He loves every cell in your body. He's the one that gave you life and breath. He's the one who wants to take all those fears. Now, there's a reverential fear. That's a positive fear. But he wants to take all those human fears. He wants you to know there's something bigger going on when you're going through this trouble. And by the way, it goes for the good times, doesn't it? That we know who goes before us. I love that. You don't listen, man. Maybe today, you are in a season where you can't see the outcome. You can't control the situation. You can't understand what God is doing. And honestly, if you're honest, it feels bigger than you. But today, God is reminding you, you aren't standing alone in it. There's a greater reality surrounding your reality. And I think about the words from the Chris Tomlin song, Angel Armies. Through darkness fills the night, the God of angel armies is always by my side. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is on my side. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the commander of heaven, heavenly armies. And maybe today, for the first time, you need to stop and say, you know what? I've been trying to fight this battle on myself. I've heard about Jesus. I've come to Bethany. I've heard about the amazing hope of the Bible. I've heard at Bethany from Pastor Seth all these names, and this name today, to know that he's got me covered, to know that his angel army's covered, to know that there's the battle going on that's not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And I've felt the weight of this and what I'm going through, and I can't handle it, and no, you can't, but he can. His name is Jesus. You've heard it many times coming here, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in him won't perish but have what? And too many preachers, not your pastor, he wouldn't miss this, but miss verse 17 of John 3, Jesus talking. And he says this, I don't come into this world to condemn the world. I come to take you back. I come to take back what was broken and taken from me in Genesis 3. After the one rule God gave to us humans is don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of that fruit, you'll surely what? Die. But praise God, from a pastor who's come along so many hurting families, I've done so many memorial services. I've been in crisis after crisis of broken marriages. But you know what I've seen? I've seen hope in the middle of the crisis. And I know this, Jehovah Sabaoth has gone before all of it. I've seen marriages healed at services where just days before I held hands of people who I know and loved and walked the walk with Jesus with them. And they held my hand and said to me, don't be sad. Don't be sad in your grief, because soon and very soon I'm going to be healed forever. Because Jesus, precious Jesus, took my mess, took my brokenness, took my pain, took my shame. And one day, I'll be in his presence on those streets of gold. I'll see those scars where the nails went in his wrist, where the thorn went in his brow, where the spear went, huh? But what about you? Now you've heard yet another name of God. And the most important name is the name of Jesus. But if you've never responded by faith, why not today? Why not today? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, honor in the moment? You know, he entered the ultimate battle for you when he came as that babe in the manger that we celebrated Christmas. To go down that Via Dolorosa road to that hill called Golgotha, Calvary, that a dump heap where criminals were crucified for their evil. But Jesus was crucified for ours. But the good news is, he was put in a grave, a borrowed tomb. And just like he said he would, after he took our torture, our shame, and our pain, and he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, he burst out of that tomb for you and for me. And he stands at the door and knocks. And for those who have ears there, let him in. Let him in. He gave the words to a prayer of really repentance. To repent, to receive him, to tell him, I want you. And the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 13 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you'll be saved. If you've never done that, do it today. Do it now. Make my words your word. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I've made a mess of things, and I know I cannot fix what separates me from you. But today I believe that when you died on the cross, you died for me. And I believe you paid for every one of my sins. You shed your blood for every one of them. And then I believe that when you rose from the grave, you made it possible for me to have forgiveness, to have hope, to have a new life. So right now, by faith, I'm confessing my sin to you, for you to forgive me, come into my life, change me from the inside out, and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for saving me, and thank you for giving me a brand new beginning. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord of hosts, I pray for anyone who made a prayed that prayer that they let us know. Check the bulletin and take that step. Talk to the pastor when he gets back or any one of the leaders here to help them grow, to grow into the likeness of you, Jesus. So open our eyes like you did to Elisha's servants. And open our eyes to realize who shall we fear. Lift our vision beyond fear, confusion, and uncertainty. Remind us that you are not distant from our unseen battles. You are actively ruling over them. Strengthen faith in this church family. Thank you for the answered prayer with Pastor Seth and Rainey and their family. And let peace replace fear and trust replace anxiety. And we declare that you are Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord over all we cannot see. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.